This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline, it is the mayor of the city of Boston, Marty Walsh. Mr. Mayor, good morning.
Morning, guys. Sorry the delay. I've been on conference calls all morning. I know we'll get into it in a minute, but this next 2 weeks is really, really, really critical here to try and stop the spread of the virus. I think that, you know, if this weren't serious, we wouldn't be building a hospital at the Convention Center.
Yeah.
If this weren't serious, you know, the Major League Sports wouldn't be shut down. All big venues would be open. If this wasn't serious, you know, we wouldn't be, the president and the governors across the country and mayors wouldn't be having press conferences every day. This is a really serious issue, and I know everyone knows that, but I just get worried about. I know earlier today I listened to you on the way in. I was on the phone listening to you on the phone, and I don't mind. I love getting razzed. I think it's great,
yeah.
But I do think that the mask thing is about people's own safety.
Yeah.
And the what we're doing here, and the advisory as far as at night staying in, it's just really to keep people safe. You know, I know personally, I know several people that have COVID-19, and you know, it can be a really tough, nasty virus. It obviously can take people's lives. We're seeing those numbers play out here in Boston, but bigger numbers in New York and what happened in Italy. And so it's something now for the next 2 weeks, it's within all of our control as individuals to really do everything we can to keep everyone safe. And I think that, you know, today's going to be a beautiful day, and you're absolutely right. People are going to be out and gathering, walking, keeping moving, keeping a distance from each other. If you go out, you know, a couple goes out and they go for a walk, or you and a friend go out for a walk and talking, that's fine. That's, no one's trying to stop that. It's people stopping and talking in large groups and gathering, the sports piece of it. I mean, listen, it's a really tough time. It's going to be 60 today. We're going to have kids out of school. They want to play hockey. They want to play basketball. That's what I would want to do. And really for their own safety and for the safety of their families, we just can't have that right now.
When you say, you're referring to me razzing, I mean, I...
Oh, yeah, you were razzing me this morning. I can't wait till this is over, because I'm going to come on that show for 3 hours and just go at you.
Well, what was I saying? I mean, I try to follow what you guys say.
I'm just giving you a time.
But the question came up about the curfew, and obviously you've been advised that you're not doing this on your own, so you've been advised that this is what to do. I just don't... You know, is that going to lead? Is the 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. going to lead to a 5 p.m. to 6 a.m. or a noon to? I mean, is there?
I hope not. I hope not. I mean, again, these are as I said in the very beginning of this, we're taking extreme precautions here, and what we're doing is trying to stop the best we can the interaction, so which stops the spread of the virus. I think if everyone, I mean, it's like the parks. I mean, keeping the parks open and having people to walk around is great. But having people play basketball and sports in there isn't good. I mean, we saw it in the Celtics game, Celtics versus, I forget, the Jazz. The player in the Jazz was positive for coronavirus, and there were four teams, I think, they played, and three of the teams that they played in a span of 5 days, players on those teams had coronavirus. So it's a very contagious disease, and it's something or a virus, I should say, not disease, very contagious virus that if it can happen to National Basketball League players playing a basketball game, it certainly can happen on the courts in Boston or New York or anywhere in America.
Were there things going on in the city after 9 p.m. that precipitated this curfew?
Well, I think what's concerning me is people are still, from what we're getting reports, people are still gathering, having people over to their houses and trying to socialize in the sense of, you know, just getting together. That can't happen. I mean, that is not healthy for the individuals doing it, and it's certainly not healthy for family members that you're in contact with. So we're requesting that and see how that works. I think, again, trying to reduce the amount of social connection, physical social connection, if you will, people being together is what we're trying to do here.
While you guys are focused on this and you know, as you said earlier, this really important period of time for the city, are you beginning to look at what happens afterwards? And when you look at, you know, certainly from an economic position, that the, you know, people have been crippled, are you guys kind of looking toward the future and what that means for what people can do, and do you have any idea about that?
Yeah, that's a great point. Yesterday I had a conversation with the governor, and we were talking about a whole host of issues, what we're dealing with right now in front of us immediately, and then as we begin to see the cases go down, how do we return back to life normally? And that obviously will impact the economics. And that's something that we're going to be talking about. I mean, still a little too early to be putting plans out there, but we had that conversation yesterday, both him and I and other people are, you know, what is normal? I don't think the normal is going to be what we experienced in January and February, or January and early February, where, you know, all of a sudden now everything's open and we're back to life. I think there's still a lot of adjustments that have to happen here. You heard Dr. Fauci said yesterday, he potentially said this could be a reoccurring virus. And ultimately what we need to do here is work with our medical providers, and how quickly can they come up with something to, basically a medicine you can take if you get the coronavirus. And secondly, how quickly can we get a vaccine out here so we can start to vaccinate people? And there are some other people talking about some therapy with antibodies. And is that an opportunity to make our body basically tolerant to the virus? So there's a lot that's still going to be played out here in the next several months. But right now, right in front of us, it really is about social distancing. And that's, I mean, I think we're going to be, it's going to be into the summer before we start to feel somewhat back to life the way we know it and we want it back. I think that's what, unfortunately, I think that's what we're headed for.
When you say summer, does that end up being July? Does that end up being?
It could be July. It might be August. Hopefully, you know, and when I say that, I don't think we're going to be seeing, I'm in my office right now and I'm looking at Faneuil Hall, and I don't think it's going to be a long time before we see, you know, thousands of people walking around Faneuil Hall again.
Can you clear up the construction thing and whether you and the governor are on the same page with that? We had some callers and texters earlier asking what is going on with construction in the city. Is it shut down? Is it not shut down?
I think one of the cases, yeah, that you talked about when I was listening earlier was a recreational facility being built somewhere.
Yes. It was at Austin Prep or whatever.
I believe that is not on the essential construction list for the governor. The governor has, for the state, an essential and non-essential construction. The essential, I don't have it in front of me, but there's an essential list of that he and the state has deemed essential. Road work is not, there's a little difference between what we're doing here in the city and what the state's doing on a statewide basis. But for example, in the city here, you know, we're not building any of our large construction sites aren't moving forward. The only work that's moving forward as far as large construction would be emergency construction emergency utility construction or bringing power to what will be a building. Other than that, mostly everything is shut down unless it's emergency construction. And if you, there is a list that on the state website, essential versus non-essential. On small stuff, when I say small stuff, somebody renovating an apartment or fixing a bathroom or painting a house inside, stuff like that, that is small construction. That is allowed under this rule because it's small construction and you can practice social distancing in those particular cases right now. But my feeling on construction, my personal feeling in construction is that we should shut it all down except for emergency essential work that needs to happen. Because
meaning medical related or something.
Yeah, medical related in hospitals. A lot of hospitals, they often do renovations, and those renovations inside need to keep going because the space that they're renovating will need to come online, hopefully, if we need it moving forward. I think there are some projects, like some transportation projects the state has and some bridge projects that need to move forward because it is about public safety. Some of those need to move forward. But I think overall, if you're out there and you're questioning whether or not you should be open, if you're a contractor or a developer, and I said this yesterday, I would prefer you put safety precautions in place, just because more than likely the owners of those entities are staying home and isolating to keep themselves and their family safe. Meanwhile, we have construction workers going out to work that don't necessarily need to be on the job site. I mean, we have to be careful right now. Right now, we're heading towards a very interesting time where we're going to see over the next couple of weeks these numbers really spike, not just here in Boston and Massachusetts, but around the country. Everyone's talking about the curve, the surge. I mean, that's in the process of happening. In 2 days, we had a 27% increase in positive cases in Boston alone, just in the last 2 days, not including today. So that shows you that more people are being tested, more people are testing positive for it, and 25% of the people that have coronavirus don't even know they have it. They're walking around. That's why we did the masks, and that's why we're doing the suggested curfews, and that's why we're doing the things that we're putting in place.
And you are suggesting that everybody wear a mask, but it should be one that they're making, essentially, not one.
Yeah,
unless
you can get one. I mean, some people have them, but right now there's a short supply. I mean, I think they'll eventually be masks available to purchase in stores, but I think right now the primary focus has been on because of the slowness, if you will, or the inability of the federal government to get the stockpile down to cities and states we don't have enough masks. There's a shortage in our hospitals and first responders, but as we go forward here, I mean, I know a lot of these companies are mass producing masks now, so eventually they'll be able to be bought. But in the meantime, you can use, if you get somebody can make a homemade mask, or you can use a scarf or a cloth over your face. That's just suggested right now because it really is, you don't know who you're coming in contact with that might be as healthy as you and I right now on this phone having a conversation. We feel great, but we don't know if we've been exposed to the coronavirus and we're not being symptomatic to the coronavirus, which means we might have the coronavirus, but we don't know it. And we're potentially spreading. That's why the gatherings are so dangerous. It's like, you know, you go for a walk, four or five people talking in a circle, you don't keep social distancing, everyone appears to be very healthy, and everyone might be healthy, except for one person could have the coronavirus and don't even know about it. And all of a sudden, there's five people that potentially are infected by it.
Mayor Walsh, the 311 element of this to go narking on people that are congregating feels a little strange to me. You know, I live in South Boston. I'm sure people are going to be out and about this afternoon a little bit because it's going to be a beautiful day and they've been, you know, inside dealing with this for weeks. How do you suggest that works? So if somebody sees a group of 5 to 10 people, they're supposed to call this number and then say,
no,
hey,
no. What I said yesterday was, it was a lot of people, and you guys see it on Twitter, like everyone messages me or messages the governor or messages somebody saying that there's larger groups of people congregating. And what I'm saying is if you're concerned about it, then, you know, you can call 311. I mean, we're going to get overwhelmed really quickly today. But what we're asking people to do, I mean, if you know somebody that's congregating, or you're one of the people congregating, just and you're listening today, just think about it. We shouldn't have to deal with 311 calls. I shouldn't have to have the police department going out and telling people, for your own safety, you shouldn't be hanging out at a park. That's just common sense. And the 311 is just an outlet for people to make calls to. I mean, I'd prefer them people not to be calling us and people just following what the suggestions are. You know, everything that we're doing is most of it has been CDC recommended. or it's steps that we might be taking even a little further than the CDC for the safety of the residents of Boston and for the governor's case, Massachusetts.
Are you guys, as a city, are you saying anything to landlords, both commercial and residential, and to banks about easing up on people during this time? I mean, I listen to what you say, and I think it's important that everybody's focused on this. It's also causing great distress for people. So are you guys, as a city, saying, hey, let's back off on, you know, pressuring people to come up with money that they don't have for this stuff?
Yeah, I've talked to several realtors and landlords, large landlords, and banks, myself personally, and there's not a consistent message across the board, but there is products available. So let me just stick with the banks first. Anybody who is listening that owns a home and you're concerned about paying your mortgage, my recommendation is you contact your bank, because most of them now are coming up with some products that can, not when I say products, some suggestions on, or some easing some of the restrictions to help you get through this time. There's also with credit card companies, I would suggest that you, rather than just not paying the bill, you should call your credit card companies, because a lot of these companies have put procedures in place to help the customer. And if you don't make the call and you wait 3 months, and then 3 months from now you're in trouble and you call the bank, and the time frame for you to get the relief that they're talking about or putting together won't be helpful. So that's for landlords. For renters, there was legislation passed last week putting a moratorium on evictions and on foreclosures here in the Commonwealth. What I'll do for you, I'll ask my team to put together a list, so at least you have it in front of you, so you can maybe tomorrow or the next couple of days read off what the laws are, what the laws are stating. So what's out there for small business help? What's out there for tenant assistant help? What's out there for landlord assistant help? What's out there for unemployment? I'll try and put a sheet together for you and get it to you guys so you have the information. So if anyone calls in, or if you want to just pass that information along, it'll be accurate, right on point, and I'd appreciate that.
All right. Because I do think, I mean, I just think it's, I mean, certainly with everything that you're thinking about, I immediately think of restaurants and bars, and not just because I like to go out and eat, but without some sort of help from the government with regard to these landlords, when we are able to open up, there's not going to be a lot of places left. I mean, people are getting absolutely killed.
No, they are, and it's really sad and tough situation right now. And, you know, it kind of trickles down. If you own a building and your tenant on the first floor is a restaurant, and the restaurant had to lay everyone off, and they might be trying to do takeout, but they have two people working in there, and they're not certainly earning any type of revenue that they were when it was open. And the landlord still needs the rent, because the landlord doesn't get the rent, the landlord loses his building. So it really is a kind of a ripple effect here. But there are, between the stimulus package passed in Washington and the legislation passed at the State House the other day, and some of the programs that we're doing here in the city of Boston, we're trying to figure out just to touch all the bases to make sure that we're able to help as many businesses as possible so nobody falls through the cracks.
All right. So curfew in effect tonight, that goes until May 4th, and that is 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. unless you're
if you have to go to the pharmacy, if you have to go the supermarket, we're encouraging takeout. Obviously, still open until a lot of restaurants open until 11 doing takeout. If you can get it delivered, that's preferable. But if you have to go out and pick it up, you do. I mean, obviously, there's going to be emergency situations, but we're asking people to really kind of adhere to this. I mean, and really to targeting probably younger people as well. As I mentioned yesterday, I think the number was 45% of the positive cases we have in Boston are millennials. So we're seeing a large increase. We're seeing a large number of people coming back testing positive that are millennials. You have an opportunity, and these are serious cases. You have an opportunity yourself to prevent yourself from being exposed to the coronavirus by taking the precautions that are in front of us. And these aren't easy. I mean, listen, it's hard for all of us. Even, you know, it's hard to stay in your house all day. It's hard to sit in and around your house all day. The one thing I said yesterday, I think I misspoke on that, because one of the channels reported that I suggested you exercise at home. That's for older residents. I said to older people. Older people have more have a higher risk as far as health risk. So it was kind of like, if you could do exercise at home, that'd be great. And if you walk around, please wear a mask. You know, because you do need to get out. You need to get air in your body. There's no question about it. And also, you don't have to go to a destination to go for a walk. There's no reason why people can't walk around their neighborhood. And I think that that's the way it was years ago, and you know, walk around the block a couple times or what have you. Or I think the best you can do that, the better it is.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us, Mr. Mayor. And, you know, whatever, let us know what the – do you expect – I mean, we're heading into this two-week period, right? So do you expect anything is going to change with regard to restrictions during that two-week period?
No. Let me just clarify that two-week period. This two-week period is just talking about – the surge, which means that we'll hope that, but I guess the experts are saying to us, this could be the peak, meaning this could be, in the next 2 weeks, we could see the highest number of coronavirus cases in Boston, America. Once that two-week period is over, that means this doesn't end. So as we've been building up to this peak in the last 4 weeks, on the backside of this, as we're going down, we're still going to have to keep restrictions in place because people are still going to be positive for coronavirus, and it's still a contagious disease, a virus, and people can still get it. But it's kind of like the epicenter that we're kind of going towards. That'll be the maximum use of hospitals, the maximum use of facilities and first responders. And then after that, it's still going to be, they're still going to have coronavirus. It's going to be on the backside, but we still, for all intents and purposes, need to keep everything shut down. If you look at Italy claims that they've hit their surge and their curve, but Italy, for the most part, still shut down. And this is a week and a half later after the surge. So we're looking at probably, to be quite honest, a 4 to 6 week, maybe even more, period of what we're experiencing today as far as basically, you know, staying at home, you know, not being able to go to work, at least physically in the space and things like that.
4 to 6 weeks after the 2 weeks, or from where we are right now?
Probably after the 2 weeks.
After the two weeks.
And it's very fluid. I mean, all of this stuff changes. I mean, I think back to the beginning of this, canceling the parade was like, you know, a big deal at the time. And then a week later, we're canceling the marathon in school. And a week later, you know, the governor does a stay-at-home order. And a few days later, the president comes out and does something else. And so this is a very fluid situation that literally changes day to day. And I think what people need to look at, don't take any comfort in seeing numbers not growing on a particular day. That doesn't, until we have a consistency of an extended period of time where we see fewer and fewer people being testing positive for coronavirus, that's when we can start to feel a little more comfortable. But until that point, you know, a one-day reduction, the state numbers didn't jump yesterday as high as the day before, but Boston did. So it's kind of, you know, where there's large groups of people living, like in cities like Boston and some of our other cities in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, where there's, you know, there's more and more people around there. There's a density of people. That's those areas we also got to watch out for.
Yeah, a texter earlier wanted me to apologize on their behalf for calling you an idiot for canceling the parade. So,
I accept your apology. Thank you.
All right. Well, we'll. Oh, and is that fish on your mask? We were discussing that earlier. What is that?
I don't know. Hold on. Let me look at it. I'm looking at it right now. I think it's a cod.
It's a cod.
Councilor Nisar Sabi George made the mask, and I grabbed this one, and I realized when I saw it on the front page today of the Herald, I said maybe I probably should have worn. Maybe either EMS or a Shamrock one, but no, the fish is great.
The fish, yeah, it's the cod. It's not the bubbling cod.
And I'll tell you, the masks are awkward. Trust me. I mean, it's like we're not used to it, and it's like kind of like we don't want to. It's like we don't want to do it, and nor do I want to walk around with a mask on when I go outside. But it is about safety. It's about keeping me or people who wear masks safe, and also keeping other people safe around us if in case we had the virus that they wouldn't catch it. So I think this is going to be the new norm for a little while. You know, somebody's going to make a lot of money making these masks.
You look pretty good, too. You doing the hair at home? Or I mean, the haircut looks good.
Yeah, it's going to get a little tough now, you know, because it's going to have to be a home trim. I don't know how that's going to look in a couple of weeks. You know, some of us are fanatical about making sure our hair is short, and some people like long hair. I'm sure, and you're not one of those guys, and I'm not one of those guys.
Yeah. All right, Mr. Mayor, thank you.
All right, Greg, thanks.
All right, there you have the mayor of the city of Boston.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.